I'll be reading from 1 Timothy this morning. If you would like to find the passage to follow along. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And about the middle of that chapter 6, we will be reading verses 11 through 16. And by way of introduction, just a word that this morning's message will be in a slightly different format than maybe you're accustomed to hearing from me. It will be in a style as what's known as narrative preaching, in which a story is told that communicates the main points of the passage, which will not be read until the very end or almost the end. So I wanted to tell you that up front so that when it seemed like my introduction was kind of going for about 20 minutes and then I started reading the passage, you wouldn't freak out and think I was going to then go on for another 20 or 30 minutes. So if you want to put a bookmark there to kind of hold your spot until we get to it, again, 1 Timothy chapter 6, 11 through 16 will be the passage. But as you have already been reminded, it is Advent. The season of Advent, the first Sunday of Advent, a word that means arrival, coming. And it is a season of preparation because whenever something is coming, you have to get ready for it. And so we prepare with all of the decorating that we do and all of the celebrating that we do and all of the food that we consume, all part of our preparation. And I hope that on the inside, on our hearts, that we are also making room and preparation for his coming. That first Advent, when the time was just right, and he came as a humble little child. But what a child, bringing salvation to the whole world. And then that second Advent, which we are still waiting for, still preparing for, when we will see the manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ in all of his glory and authority. Advent, the season of preparation. Would you pray with me? Father, we are glad to be in your house. We are grateful for your presence and for this blessed season, which starts off our Christian calendar every year, because it is good to revisit those stories and to remember that you came. And there is something in us that longs to prepare for your coming all over again. We give you these moments and we ask them to use them according to your purposes, for your glory, and that we might be transformed to be more like Christ. Amen. The letter came in the morning mail, and as she looked at the address, her address printed in a very familiar handwriting, and as her eye caught sight of that foreign postage stamp and foreign postmark, she knew immediately who it was from before she ever cracked the seal on the envelope. She could remember with a vivid clarity the day he left. He looked so handsome in his military uniform, so proud, even though she knew he was concerned about what might happen to him. And as she stood there, oh, the sun was streaming through the clouds, and she had that little newborn son in her arms. She was trying to be brave too, fighting back the tears as she kissed him one last time. And he told her that promise, "I love you, and I will come home to you." They had only been married about a year, and that was two additional years ago that he had left. And so on this morning, as she stared at that letter, as always happened, there was the mixture of fear and anticipation, because what would be on the inside? Would it be good news? Would it be bad news? So with a steadying breath, she turned it over and opened the envelope and pulled out the letter. And the first thing she noticed is that it was very, very short. Barely even covered the first page. And normally, even when he was in situations where he didn't have much time, he would write as much as he could. But trying not to think the worst, she started to read those first few lines. And already, before she made it to the bottom of the page, her heart was starting to race. And she immediately went back to the top and started reading it through again because she couldn't believe, is this really happening? And she began to pace across the room, and not even realizing she was doing it out loud, she started to whisper, "He's coming. He's coming. He's coming." Now, he couldn't tell her exactly when he was going to be back home. The nature of his work in the military and the nature of what was going on over there, he just didn't know for sure. But there was so much assurance in the way that he chose the words. She knew that he was coming. And so immediately she began to think about what she needed to do to prepare, because she wanted everything to be ready for his appearance. And while she had always been a decent housewife, she tried to keep the house clean. They had a toddler by this point, you know, and as toddlers often do, it made the house look very lived in. But she determined, well, if he's coming, then I want the house to be as close to spotless as possible. And so she would make preparations for the house to be clean. And she would want herself and her son to look at their best. So she picked out their best outfits, and she made sure they were cleaned, and she made sure that they were ironed, and she put them in the closet in a prominent place so that they could be ready at a moment's notice to get dressed, because she didn't know exactly when. She just knew with certainty, with hope, that he was coming. And then she thought, I want to make his favorite meal when he gets back. So she made the grocery list of all the things that she would need to get, and she was going to have everything she needed on hand so that he could enjoy his favorite foods their first night back together. And when her son woke up from his nap that afternoon, she told him the good news. Even though he was just a couple of years old, she sensed that he began to understand, and he could certainly pick up on the anticipation and the hope and enthusiasm that was just pouring out of her. She showed him the father's picture, as she had so many times before, and reminded that precious little boy, "Oh, your father is a good man, a righteous man. He's always trying to do the right thing. And he loves us very much, and he is coming. He is coming." So of course she dressed him, and they went out to run their errands, including getting all those supplies for that meal that she wanted to fix when her husband got back. And as she saw people that she knew while she was out and about, of course she had to go and tell them the good news. "Have you heard? He is coming. He is coming." And she would show them the letter. And of course they picked up on her joy and her hope and her enthusiasm, and they shared in that, even though it wasn't their husband. And by the time she gathered all her things and made it up to the checkout counter, she was even going up to complete strangers and telling them, "Oh, he's coming. Did you know my husband is coming?" And showing them the letter. That night, as she prepared her son for bed and tucked him in, she showed him the picture again, told him about how his father was a good man, a righteous man, always trying to do the right thing, and how he loved them very much and was coming. And as she laid in her own bed, she tucked that letter under her pillow, whispered her thanks to the Lord, and drifted off to sleep with the promise echoing in her mind and her heart, "He is coming." And of course, that first day went into the second day, and he didn't show, but she wasn't too concerned. She knew his letter had said, "I can't tell you exactly when." But still, as she and her son went through their daily routine, and they still played the games they always played and got out the toys, but as the day began to wind down, she made sure everything was put away. She checked on those outfits to make sure they were still just right. She knew everything was in the cupboards and in the fridge. When her son went to bed, she showed him the picture, went through the litany. The second day turned into the third and into the fourth, and finally it was the end of the week. And he, of course, had not shown up yet, but her hope was not diminished. And she thought about all those things she had bought for his favorite meal, and she said, well, you know, they're not going to stay, even in the refrigerator, good forever. So I'm going to go ahead and I'll fix that meal so that we can enjoy it. And she did that. And the next day, she went right back out to the grocery, and she got all the supplies again to replenish so that she would be ready, because he was coming, and she wanted to have everything on hand. And so her life went, as 1 week turned into two, and two turned into three. And although her hope was not diminished, she could not ignore the way that people begin to talk. She could notice the whispers as she sometimes walked by, and the way that they looked at her when they would ask any word, and she would have to say no, but he's coming. I have the letter, and I know that he is coming. As she knew that those people would talk and doubt, sometimes it would get to her, and in those moments, she would pull that letter out and read those words again to reassure herself, to rekindle the hope. And she would tell herself, even though we had a short courtship and we were only married a year before he had to go, he never lied to me. He never betrayed me. I trust him. And if he says he is coming, he is coming. And so even when there were no other letters, even when the military didn't even send her any communication, even when she knew people were starting to whisper things like missing in action, killed in action, her hope was not diminished. Even when a well-intentioned friend tried to talk to her one day and tried to help her to say, you know, you should maybe try to prepare for worst case. And she would say, but he's coming. And I know that he is over there fighting the good fight of a soldier, that he's taking hold of those responsibilities that he accepted when he made that confession when he joined the military. And he said, this is what I choose to do in service of my country and what I believe is right. And she said, and as long as he is doing that, I am going to remain here fighting the good fight of a faithful wife and mother. I am going to take hold of my responsibilities and the commitment I made when I said those vows on our wedding day. And so even though sometimes she was very tired at the end of the day, when she and her son had played, she would still pick up all the toys and make sure that the house was clean. Even though it was a little extra on their budget to make sure that she always had the stuff on hand for that meal. Because see, when it got to the end of a week, she had to fix that meal every week. And sometimes she invited friends over to share it with. Sometimes she took it to a neighbor's house. But every week she fixed it and then replenished the supplies, even though it made their budget tight and she had to learn to cut in other places. Because she was determined to keep the hope alive, because she trusted that he was coming. One of the more difficult things that happened during that time, as the months stretched on out, is an old friend came into town. And if truth be told, when they were younger, she had been a little sweet on him, but they had just stayed friends. And of course, he quickly learned about the situation, and he was so nice to her, so kind, offered to do things around the house for her, jobs that she could not do, things that a man, a husband, would have done. But she was cautious. She knew that even though he meant well by it, she did not want there to be even the slightest taint against her reputation. As a wife, she wanted to be without blame or spot when her husband returned. And so although she appreciated his friendship, she was very careful about what she accepted from him, because she knew that in her loneliness, it would be all too easy for that to turn into something that would be very dangerous. She was determined to keep those vows which she had made to her husband. And so it went for several months. And eventually people just stopped talking, although they would give her kind of a sad look as they passed sometimes. But her hope never wavered. And she went through the process week after week, making sure the house was clean, making sure the food for his meal was ready. She persevered, she endured. Until one day, when she least expected it, the call came. And he was coming in on a flight. And so very quickly she got her son, and they put on their best outfits. And they drove out to the airport, even though she beat him by a good 2 hours. And she stood there waiting for him. And when he arrived, there was all the celebration that you would have expected. And when he came home, oh, he was so pleased to see them, and he was so appreciative of how wonderful everything looked and of the way that she had made everything ready for his arrival. The way she had stayed true to her hope that he was coming. Hear the word of the Lord from 1 Timothy 6. Verses 11 through 16. But as for you, man of God, shun all this. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and for which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession. I charge you to keep the commandment without spot or blame until the manifestation of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will bring about at the right time. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, it is he alone who has immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. This morning I offer the promise from our Lord that he is coming. And we can't say for sure when, but we are encouraged to live in preparation and in hope, to pursue the Christian life, to fight the good fight, to remain faithful without spot or blame, so that when people look at us, there will be nothing to tarnish our Christianity. That no matter what the world says, that we keep the hope alive, the hope of his appearing. Would you stand, please? Father, thank you for the promise that you are coming, and the hope that we have if we have chosen to make you our Lord and Savior. And we know that our hope is not empty, because you came the first time and you have never lied. You have never betrayed us. and we trust you. Father, enable us by the power of your Spirit to live a life that is ready for your appearing. Help us to fight the good fight. We long to be without spot or blame when you appear in all of your glory. King of kings, Lord of lords, and to partake in the great celebration and reward of our faithfulness at that time. I ask your blessing upon all those who have come to your house today, that you would watch over them and keep them, give them strength for their week. Fill them with your light so that the hope that you have planted in their hearts might spill over and touch others. We ask all this in the name of your Son, who is coming. Amen.